Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Clarence Page is the syndicated columnist and Washington-based member of the Chicago Tribune's editorial board, a Pulitzer Prize winner. And Clarence wrote a column headline, Black History Month Faces Misguided Battles Over Discomfort. And good morning, Clarence. We wanted to talk to you a little bit about that column. First of all, thank you for writing that. I had no idea that the whole idea of Black History Month came from a Chicago guy who went to the University of Chicago, Carter Woodson, right?
That is correct, Carter G. Woodson. There's even a Carter G. Woodson Library on the South Side and some other historical places that people know about and pay attention to. I didn't pay attention to history until I got so old that I could that my memories were being called history.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I should point out very quickly that Carter Woodson did go to the University of Chicago, graduated with honors, and then on to Harvard. He was the second African-American to graduate with a Ph.D. From Harvard. The first was W.E.B. Du Bois. And Woodson died later in Washington, D.C. But before he did that, he started Negro History Week, which we now know as African-American History Month. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to throw that in there, Bob.
Yeah, it was Gerald Ford who proclaimed it Black History Month in 1976. Reading your column, Clarence, here's the question that popped into my head. Why has this month fallen into the category too woke? Why do we have that controversy all of a sudden?
You know, it all has to do with political leverage, Bob. And you and I have both been around long enough to know in various campaigns, various politicians will play whatever card they can in order to get an edge. The race card is hardly new in American politics. And what is really disturbing to me is how nowadays, right after George Floyd and the year of reckoning that we saw break out across the country and went international for that matter, we started to see pushback on those who were leading it. Black Lives Matter became like a communist as a as a word back in the red baiting days, the whole idea of having a racial dialogue, because we were making some progress on, suddenly became divisive in the eyes of some people. And the whole critical race theory deal, I call it a bogus deal, frankly, because there is critical race theory at like Harvard Law School, for example, but not in the public schools. But the notion has taken hold, spurred on by the conservative movement, that a lot of what we used to call Black history is now critical race theory, meaning it's divisive, turns black kids against white kids, wants to, and we don't need to have that in the schools. Yeah. Well, I don't want to turn white kids against black kids either, but that's not what it's about.
Right. It's divisive like everything else these days. Is it a war? Is it just a war against uncomfortable discussions?
Yeah, that word discomfort really grabbed me, because in Virginia and the close of 39 states now, Republicans are pushing resolutions and bills to ban critical race theory or whatever sounds like it. And that word discomfort keeps popping up. But, you know, trying to find some way to justify this. They say, and I thought something about Virginia and a number of other states, they say anything that causes discomfort with the students or with the children. And, boy, that's pretty broad, isn't it? Anything that causes a discomfort. Discomfort is part of the educational process, you know. How are you going to teach something like slavery without making some people uncomfortable, black and white and whatever other color? This has kind of become a real political angle that pops up at campaign time. But you notice how we've heard very little about critical race theory here in recent weeks. Once those Virginia gubernatorial elections were over, and I bet you're going to be hearing more about it, though, now that we're going into a midterm election.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the kids, again, are being used like ping pong balls in the middle of this debate, and they shouldn't be. And it's also causing a lot of nervousness by teachers, and can you blame them? Mm-hmm. You know, can they talk about Booker T. Washington or George Washington Carver without being accused of critical race theory?
Right. I you know what? I have hope, though, when I talk to kids, my kids, others. I think the young people are much better about having their minds open to these tough discussions than the rest of us.
I do, too. I say, thank God for that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing, because the future does belong to our kids. We want to give them a good start. But they're the ones who really have to make these decisions as they grow older. And when I go out and talk to youngsters, high school and college, I really feel very encouraged by what I hear, because they're learning so much. And I quoted one young black TikTok teen in my column, who said that her friends tell her they learn more about black history on TikTok than they do at school. And I mean, that's, you know, just thinking about it, you know how TikTok works. I mean, people now do turn to it as an authority, like other social media. And that can be good or bad, depending on the quality of the information that they get. But the young people want to know that they're living in the most diverse America we've ever known, and it's getting more so. They know how to get along better than the grown-ups, it seems.
Yeah. Well, and how do you think old Mr. Woodson would think about all this? What would he say about all this, the inventor of Black History Month?
I often think about that. I also think about the fact that things were so much worse for black folks when Carter G. Woodson was around. I mean, I grew up in the late 50s through the 60s and 70s. The Civil Rights Act, you know, wasn't passed until 64. We had, you know, strong Jim Crow segregation still alive in the South, and a lot of it in the North as well, without the black and colored and white waiting room signs. But the fact is that there is I think Woodson would be gratified overall, mm-hmm. that we care so much about African American history and other ethnic history and gender history and all, which people are opening up, because that's what education is about, learning about the world that you're growing up in and what you can do about it when you grow up.
I love his most remembered quote that you printed in your column, Clarence: when you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. How about that?
Yeah, that's right. And that's it. And excerpt from the larger quote, because he goes on to say you don't have to worry about whether he will go this way or that way. He'll find the right way whether he will go out the door. He'll find it by himself. And if the door is not there, he'll cut open a hole and be able to go on his own. Mm-hmm. That's not word for word quote, but that's the basic idea of it, that the power of education is liberating. And I think that's still true today.
Yeah, truer than ever. Words to live by. Clarence Page, great talking to you about this and anything for that matter, as always. Appreciate the time this morning, Clarence. Have a good day.
You too, Bob. Thanks for having me.